Father, thank you for your provision in our lives. Thank you that it's you we get our sense of approval from. That a successful life is a life that knows you. Thank you that it is you that provides our daily bread. That the world's idea of prosperity is not your idea of prosperity. That you give us abundant life in your eyes. And thank you, Lord, that we can be secure and safe in that knowledge of your provision. And thank you, Lord, for your kingdom, that you've called us into it, that we may be part of it. That true ambition is ambition for your kingdom coming. Our Lord, as we gather this morning as your people, the people of your pasture, we trust that as we focus on Lord Jesus, the gate through which we pass, that we might find good pasture, that we might find more people to share that good pasture with, and an understanding of your approval, your provision, and the ambition that you have for this world. And as we see the broken world around us, as we see conflict in the Middle East, as we see natural disaster in Nepal, Lord, give us that certain sense of your sovereignty in the midst of a good but imperfect world. And may we understand that we are your hands and your feet and your voice, and through us you act. Father, we are citizens in this nation, this United Kingdom. And as we approach the general election, may we see the choice before us with your eyes, with kingdom eyes. Help us to understand the kind of leaders that you would like to see in this country. And as we hold all that before you this morning, Father, may we be graceful with one another, understanding that politics can and does cause division. But we are a people of peace. May we engage with politics and bring in good news to this world with your ambition, with your approval, and with your provision. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I was giving out peace as you came in. If anybody didn't get any peace, there's a few little bits of peace left. Thank you, Anthea. There's a certain generation who understand that. What I'm focusing on this morning is the other half to what I started last week. Churches together, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Union, the United Reformed Church and the Church of Scotland have got a joint initiative task force to encourage people to engage with this election as citizens. And what they've produced is some information that I've found compelling and thought-provoking, so I've kind of shared it with you. Last week we looked at truth and justice. I think I have got a PowerPoint if we can get it up. Which way should I shift, to the left or to the right? Tell you what, I usually shift to the left, so just for equity purposes, I'll go to the right this morning. Thanks, Nigel. So for those of you that think, well, how has politics got anything to do with us as the people of God? Please remember that a Christian life is not a one-dimensional or two-dimensional life. It's a three-dimensional life. It's one where we are connected with God. That's an upward dimension. The reason we pray, the reason we worship, is to be connected with him, to be in communion with him, that we might understand his kingdom purposes, that we might understand and be filled with his love for this world, so that as we overflow with his love, then we have something to give on his behalf to the world around us. And that expresses itself in an inward life, in being disciples together. We are on a journey. Those of you that are committed to being followers of Christ are disciples. We are ever learning. It's a pilgrimage. There's always more. When you think you've got it sorted, there is always more. And much of that is to do with our inner life and how much we've got to give to others. What gifts has God placed within you? What provision has God given you that you might share with others? And that then leads us to think about the outward dimension of life. Mission. Mission is not what happens overseas in third world countries. Mission is the mission that God is on to call this world back into relationship with himself. God is a missional God. He's a relational God that loves being in relationship with the world he's created and the people he's created. Because that is broken, because that is not as it should be, God is on a mission. And we join him in that mission. And in fact, the mission comes first before the church. The church would not exist if there wasn't a mission. And so as we are disciples of Christ, as we are connected with God, and as we learn to understand ourselves better, then we see that our lives are to be mission-shaped lives. As we live our lives out amongst our friends, our families, our work colleagues, then they can see Christ in us as Christ is formed in us. That's our vision. Politics would be part of that. It's part of life. There's no bit that God's excluded from. Now, I understand there are many different political theories, and many of them make sense, so I'm not going to say which politics is better than any other this morning, nor did I last week. That is for us to engage with as thinking beings. God made us rational. But I believe there are some scriptural principles which can help us think about what type of politics we feel we might back. Okay? Truth, justice, peace, and well-being are four scriptural principles that we would do well to think about as we consider what form of politics we feel might be best for the people of this country. Last week we considered truth and justice. I'm going to very briefly mention those. Truth is a foundational Christian principle. Paul said, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. If we speak truth, then we challenge others to do the same. So something to consider as you listen to the political narratives, which one is the one that strikes you as most truthful? We also considered justice last week, foundational to the idea of God's kingdom. Micah, the Old Testament prophet, summarized the faith with this famous verse. He has shown you what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The people of God act justly. So this idea of justice is at the heart of the kingdom of God. What is justice? It's about fairness. It's about building a world that is fair and equitable for everyone. Everyone. So that's truth and justice dealt with. They're huge subjects, aren't they? And we dealt with those last week. For those that weren't here last week, I apologize. We have to move on to the very small subjects of peace and well-being. Peace. What is peace? These are some photos of soldiers disembarking a helicopter in a conflict zone. And that's a picture of someone from, I believe, the Black Watch Regiment, Scottish Regiment, playing football with Iraqis. Jesus, in his famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, spoke about those things that are blessed, the Beatitudes. And he very clearly said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. 100 years ago, our nation was embroiled in a very, very bloody conflict on a scale never previously witnessed. It was said to be the war that ends all wars. It didn't. As Christians, we might have a variety of views as to how to use and resort to military intervention. What constitutes defending our interests as a nation? Some hold that warfare might be required to protect ourselves, to protect others, or indeed to create peace. Others might say war destroys lives, and nearly always destroys the lives of the weakest and the most vulnerable. They are the ones that suffer most when war happens. Who's right? Money spent on war could be spent on health and well-being. But what happens if your country's not safe? Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Peace is not simply an absence of conflict. Peace is something that you make. It is actively sought. Peacemaking is more than demilitarizing. It requires us to ask questions to make peace. Peacemaking is about recognizing the inequalities, the injustice, the long-standing divisions that exist in this world that give rise to international conflict. So if we are to be peacemakers, we have to ask those hard questions of why is there not peace in order to make peace. Isaiah gave us God's vision for the kingdom of earth. God will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will be... There you go. It's like Holy Spirit. They will beat their swords into plowshares. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. This is Isaiah's vision of God's kingdom, not one where weapons are temporarily mothballed to be brought out again, rather one where nations engage with one another in peace, in trust. Peace lies at the heart of the Christian message. At Jesus' birth, angels proclaimed peace and goodwill to those who would have it. And before he died, Jesus declared, "My peace I leave you with." So we need political leaders, as we listen to their narratives, we need political leaders who are committed to being peacemakers, making the world safe, secure, just for all. And as Christians, we should strive to have peace on the agenda. How can the UK best support peace in the Middle East and other areas of conflict? What about the Trident policy and working for a world free of nuclear weapons? What can you, the candidate that I might vote for, how can you be a peacemaker in our own islands where there might be conflict? So as you listen to the political narratives, please remember that peace is at the heart of the idea of God's kingdom. That leads us to a place of well-being. Would you like some well-being? So there you go. Have this, you'll be sorted. Just to remind you, these are produced by the Joint Churches Public Task Force, the Methodist, Baptist, Church of Scotland, and United Reformed Churches. And they're there really not to tell you who to vote for, but rather to consider how to engage with thinking about who you should vote for from Christian principles. Zechariah, another Old Testament prophet, had this wonderful image of the kingdom of God. In Zechariah chapter 8, he said, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with cane in hand because of his age. The city streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there. There's that sense of harmony, that sense of balance, that sense of companionship, of well-being. Everybody in society, everybody is born into the same world. Everybody should have the same opportunities. Society functions through working for the common good, relying on and helping one another. As a marker for equality in our society, perhaps we could think about, when we wake up in the morning, does everybody have their daily bread? Does everybody have equal access to education? Does everybody have equal access to developing skills? Does everybody have equal access to seeking employment? For this is our daily bread. Hundreds of food banks, often in churches, remind us of the inequality in this society and of our desire to be generous. A key scriptural truth is that God is a generous God, open-handed with the whole of his creation. As we, as Christians, try to image this generosity, we should be mindful of this inequality around us. Well-being is often reduced to personal wealth and gain. Well-being is far more than that. Many political narratives are aimed at serving this aspect of your interests, your personal wealth, your personal gain. That's what's in it for you. Christians should recognize this is not a solid foundation for society. The quality of our shared lives together is not measured by the achievements of the most successful, but how the weakest and the most vulnerable fare. Paul was uncompromising on this point when he wrote to the Corinthians, "Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others." Uncompromising. Christians have a clear commitment to the common good. God's vision of prosperity is not the economic success of a few, but the well-being of all. Wealth is something to be shared, a gift to the whole of society. Well-being is not measured in financial terms alone, but in a healthy and secure society for all. So we need political leaders who will make this idea of well-being a priority. We could ask them, what will you do to address the growing inequalities in our society? What will you do to build a sense of shared community? And what do you think a government should be doing to ensure quality of life for all? Truth, justice, peace, and well-being. The cornerstones of the kingdom of God. That begins with our prayers and our votes. Think, pray, vote.